ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम। वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 8 चैप्टर 3 टेक्स्ट नंबर 11। दिस चैप्टर इज एंटाइटल्ड एज गजेंद्रस प्रेयर्स ऑफ सरेंडर। सत्वेन प्रतिलभ्याय नैष्कर्मेण विपश्चिता नमः कैवल्यनाथाय निर्वाणसुख संविदे। ट्रांसलेशन एंड पर्पोर्ट बाय हिज डिवाइन ग्रेस श्री भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी श्रील प्रभुपाद। द सुप्रीम पर्सनालिटी ऑफ गॉड इज रियलाइज्ड बाय प्योर डिवोटीज हु एक्ट इन द ट्रांसेंडेंटल एग्जिस्टेंस ऑफ भक्ति योगा। ही इज द बेस्टोअर ऑफ अनकंटामिनेटेड हैप्पीनेस and is the master of the transcendental world. Therefore, I offer my respect unto him. Purport. As stated in Bhagavad Gita, the Supreme Personality of Godhead can be understood only by devotional service. Bhaktyamam abhijanati yavan yash chashmi tatvata. If one wants to know the Supreme Personality of Godhead in truth, one must take to the activities of devotional service. These activities are called sattva or shuddha sattva. In the material world, activities of goodness, which are symptomatic of pure brahmana, are appreciated. But the activities of devotional service are shuddha sattva. In other words, they are on the transcendental platform. Only by devotional service can one understand the Supreme. Devotional service is called naishkarmya. Mere negation of material activity will not endure. Naishkarmyam api achyuta bhava varjitam. Unless one performs activities with reference to Krishna consciousness, cessation of material activities will not be helpful. In hopes of achieving naishkarmya, freedom from material action, many highly elevated sannyasis stopped their activities. Yet they failed and returned to the material platform to act as materialistic persons. But once one is engaged in the spiritual activities of bhakti yoga, one does not fall down. Our Krishna consciousness movement is therefore an attempt to engage everyone always in spiritual activity, by which one becomes transcendental to material actions. The spiritual activities of bhakti marga, shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu smaranam, pada sevanam, lead one to understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, as stated here, sattvena pratilabhyaya naishkarmena vipashchita. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is realized by pure devotees who act in the transcendental existence of bhakti yoga. The Gopal Tapani Upanishad says, bhaktir asya bhajanam tad iha mutropadi nairasya naivamushim. Manasa kalpanam etad evacha naishkarmyam. This is the definition of naishkarmya. One acts in naishkarmya when he fully engages in Krishna consciousness activities without material desires to enjoy, either here or in the upper planetary systems, in the present life or in the future life. Iha amutra. Anyabhilashita shunyam. When one is freed from all contamination and he acts in devotional service under the direction of the spiritual master, one is on the platform of naishkarmya. By such transcendental devotional service, the Lord is served. I offer my respectful obeisances unto him. Satvena pratilabhyaya naishkarmena vipashchita namakaivalyanathaya nirvana sukasamvide. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is realized by pure devotees who act in the transcendental existence of bhakti yoga. He is the bestower of uncontaminated happiness and is the master of the transcendental world. Therefore, I offer my respect unto him. Hare Krishna. So Gajendra continues to offer his prayers, calling the Supreme as Nirvana Sukha Samvide, one who bestows uncontaminated happiness. Not the nirvana of the Buddhist concept, nirvana of the where there is no contamination. And here Srila Prabhupada explains about Naishkarmya. Mere negation of material activities will not endure. The process of renunciation, today being a very auspicious day, the sannyas ceremony of Srila Prabhupada on 17th September, according to the English calendar, 1959, he took sannyas in Mathura on the order of his spiritual master who came in his dream and which was realized by the pressure or the request of his god brother Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj. And also this is the day where Vishwarup, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's older brother, took sannyas. Sannyas is not to celebrate. Sannyas is a sobering thought. As Prabhupada mentions in one of his lectures during the disappearance day of Bhakti Pragyan Keshava Maharaj, he said, when he would get this dream of his Guru Maharaj coming and asking him to take sannyas, he said, I was horrified. I was afraid. It is not that he was lacking qualification, but the abundance of humility that I am not qualified. Because any great devotee of the Lord is not unnecessarily bold in doing something whimsically on his own. There has to be a divine intervention. There has to be order from the top. So therefore, and then again, the principle of hesitation is not because of lack of confidence. Hesitation because I am not qualified. Therefore, we see in the Shastra, sannyas is actually not recommended for the age of Kali. Very clearly mentioned in the scriptures, sannyas is not recommended. But still we see some of the great Vaishnava acharyas who are very expert in following the Shastras, they broke this rule. Whether it is Madhvacharya, Ramanuja, and then Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, one who quoted this verse before taking sannyas to Chand Kazi, he took sannyas. Because breaking this rule for practicing higher rule. But sometimes people break the rule. When you try to apparently practice dharma, sannyas dharma, for a very mundane cause, like it is explained during the Chanakya Pandit's time, Chandragupta's time, that in his place, of course, this was before Chandragupta, when Chanakya was trying to install Chandragupta as the king, there were hundreds of sannyasis, the Buddhist bhikshus, the Jain bhikshus, and then others. And when Chandragupta became the king, there was a special law to interrogate every sannyasi. There was a special, a board asking, why have you taken sannyas? If the reason for taking sannyas was mundane, they were strictly punished. Punishment, they had to go back and start working for their family, for their country, for their society. Because a sannyas could be used, we see how scriptures are so dynamic. They are not static. The Shastras allow us to make a very sobering choice. Reflect and contemplate, where do I stand in my spiritual level? Should I use the spiritual principle for material purpose? Like there was a conversation between Prabhupada's senior disciples that some students would want to take sannyas. Repeatedly there was a request. Almost every day, devotees would request Srila Prabhupada, I want to take sannyas, I want to take sannyas, I want to take sannyas. But the purpose behind taking sannyas, one devotee said, a big thali of Mahaprasad. If you take sannyas, then Mahaprasad plate comes to you, then you don't have to physically perform work. Just see, like Radhanand Maharaj also mentions in his book about a sadhu who he met. He was blessing everybody. There was a huge line offering obeisances, you know, seeking blessings from him. But when he saw an American boy coming to India and he was blasting, he said, I'm not enjoying, I'm suffering. What a stupid fellow you are. You have given up the wealth of America, the beautiful women, luxurious, comfortable living, and you are coming here, your life is finished. What is the use of sanyas? There is no God while he is blessing. So the purpose of his renunciation, he never appreciated renunciation. He had no other choice to live materialistic life other than the life of a sannyasi. So unfortunate. Therefore, Prabhupada mentions, just giving up responsibility, as Krishna also explains in the Bhagavad Gita, giving up or renouncing because it is difficult, that renunciation is in the mode of passion or ignorance. That renunciation is not substantial. Escaping from one's responsibility, one does not make advancement. Here, any Vaishnava acharyas, they took renunciation not to run away from the material world, rather deeply enter into material world to save the conditioned soul. But at the same time, they do it in such a way that they shy away from taking responsibility unless they are told by their superior personalities. Like Raghunath Das Goswami explains in one of his poems that Radha Kund is a very high place. It is not for me. I cannot dare to go and stay there. I will live in Surya Kund. Whenever there is a call for me from my higher authorities, then I will come, perform my service and again go back. Similarly, we see Hanumanji during the, when Sampati told him, oh, Ravan lives on the other side of the ocean. And they were very excited that they got the news about Ravana's dwelling place. They were excited, but when they came to the Indian Ocean, when they saw the huge, you know, the water, body of water which they have to cross, they almost lost all their confidence because it was 100 yojana. And they started saying, I can only jump 10 yojana, somebody said 20, somebody said 30. Angad said, I can go, but I don't know if I can come back. And Jambavan said, I could have done it, but now I'm old, I cannot do it. Meanwhile, all these monkeys were trying to encourage each other. But Hanumanji is sitting, you know, without speaking anything. And Jambavan goes and actually, he gives confidence to Hanumanji. He encourages, he reminds Hanumanji his power. Then Hanumanji agrees to perform that task. Similarly, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur mentions about sannyas in Gaudiya line. There was no organized sannyas in Gaudiya line. In Gaudiya line, mostly the mahants, the grahasthas would preach. And some of the renunciates, like Srinivas Acharya was a grahastha, Narottam Das Thakur was not a sannyasi. He never married. Haridas Thakur was not a sannyasi. He did not marry. Or they were Babaji's. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, when he adapted the path of sannyas order, it was not that he was going against the rules of the sampradaya. Again, another principle he was exhibiting, that Babaji order is too high. I am not qualified for this. Therefore, I will stay away from that order and accept sannyas. So, sannyas was not a prestige issue for Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. The adoption of sannyas was a sign of humility that I am not qualified. Then that very sannyas, by the influence of time, became eventually an apprentice issue. Deva Prabhupada explains in the Bhagavatam 10th canto that it is not a thing, it is not the ritual itself purifies you, rather the consciousness. In the story of Nalakwar and Manigriva, Nalakwar and Manigriva were taking bath in Mandakini Ganga, not in the earthly Ganga, Mandakini Ganga in the heavenly planets. They were taking bath in the Mandakini Ganga. You can imagine her purity in that place is much higher in one sense. Of course, she is the same everywhere. She Ganga is Ganga. But they were taking bath in Mandakini Ganga not to purify. Their whole purpose of using Ganga was like a swimming pool where people go to a resort. So that was their purpose. And when Narad Muni approached taking that bath in Ganga, seeing Narad Muni, you know, they were so contaminated, more contaminated than our Mrigari. Mrigari became angry when he saw that all the birds and the animals, they flew away, ran away. He was very angry. He was about to shoot at the person who caused this. But when he saw Narad Muni, immediately there was a change of heart. He wanted to offer something to Narad Muni. Just see, by darshan of Narad Muni, he was changed. Why? Because he did not practice hunting as a sport. He practiced hunting as his survival. But here these people had the facilities not to be sinful, but they chose to be sinful. So therefore when Narad Muni came to them, they were disturbed by the presence of Narad Muni. They were saying, what is this? This person has come here. Why should he come in this place? Like sometime when you are traveling in the local train, people ask, why the sadhu should be sitting in the train? They should be in the Himalayan mountains. They feel disturbed to see the sadhus. So similarly, the Nalakwar and Manigriva got disturbed. And they were very upset also. So Narad Muni cursed them. So they were in the Mandakini Ganga. That should have given them the higher vision to understand Narad Muni and seek his blessings. But rather seeking his blessing, they got his curse. Of course, that is also a blessing in disguise, which they would not realize. Only when they met the son of Nanda Maharaj, they could realize this was a blessing given by Narad Muni. So therefore, we see that the principle of sannyas is not a ritual. When Prabhupada took sannyas in 1959, September 17, the ritual is not so important in one sense. People give so much of importance to the ritual, the sannyas ritual, the marriage ritual. Even those who have no interest, those who are atheistic, when it comes to marriage ceremony, when it comes to, you know, death samskaras, they elaborately perform calling pujaris as if that is everything. The ritual is not important, but the preparation, as Satsarup Maharaj writes in the Lilamrit, lifetime in preparation. The whole consciousness of Srila Prabhupada was not waiting for that ritual. One day I will get sannyas. The whole lifetime was preparation in trying to fulfill the mission of his Guru Maharaj. So therefore, whether sannyas or no sannyas did not matter. What mattered was his preparation. And then taking sannyas was not so important as much as executing the sannyas order. If we can realize this, that we need to prepare and we need to execute, then whether the ceremony is there or not there, it does not matter. Sometime one may not take sannyas. What to speak of sannyas? One may not get initiated also. Sometime devotees get into anxiety. Oh, it is 1 year, 2 year, 3 year, I am not initiated. I am not Brahman initiated. We have so many devotees waiting to worship the deities, not being initiated for Brahman Diksha. So there is the anxiety. Will I get initiation? Will I die without getting initiation? It happened also. Two or three people left their bodies. And somebody asked, can we give them posthumous Diksha? You don't require, because if you have prepared to be initiated, and if you executed what one is supposed to execute after being initiated, if that comes, that formality comes, one should desperate to be formally initiated. But by some means, by some accident, it does not happen. It is not that his spiritual life is gone to the toss, it is lost. Sometime a person may be initiated, never preparing for the initiation, and never executes the ceremony of initiation, that is waste. Any ceremony, therefore, in one of the Yoga Sutra that is explained, that one may go through all the samskaras. Samskaras are ritualistic also, samskaras are also cultural also. How the parents raise their child, how the teacher raises the child in the school, how the village surrounding raises the child in proper environment, with proper samskaras, culturally. And there are rituals also. It is said, one may go through all the 40 ritualistic samskaras, but one may still remain a brute. Going through all the samskaras without the change of the heart. There is no change in the heart. Therefore, the Vedic culture, the Vedic scripture, or the Vaishnavism, gives so much importance to the principle, more than the form, more than the bhara-grahi or bhara-vahi, you know, holding the burden of the ritual and not understanding the principle, sara-grahi. If that is not there, then everything is lost. Therefore, when Prabhupada had to take sannyas, he was not desperate to take sannyas, rather he was desperate to do the task given by his spiritual master. He was doing anyway. He had left his home in 1950, living in Vrindavan, writing books, going to Delhi, distributing Back to Godhead magazines, distributing pamphlets. And again, quitting home was not because his wife, you know, sometime we tell the story, if his wife had not done like that, you want me or tea? And she said, I want tea. Prabhupada said, okay, you have your tea and I go to some other place. So for a pure devotee, he does not need a material situation to practice or preach Krishna consciousness. There is no need to fear, oh, if this would have not happened, if his wife would have not said, if she had said, okay, I want you, it is not that Prabhupada would have stayed in the home and not preach Krishna consciousness. For a conditioned soul, he requires a material situation where Krishna has to arrange a material situation, force him, you know, create a situation so that he can practice devotional service. For a pure devotee, he does not require a material situation. But as if a practicing devotee, he also, out of humility, will say, oh, now because my wife was not favorable. In fact, for a devotee, anything is favorable. And for a materialistic thing, materialistic person, nothing is favorable to execute Krishna consciousness. He will always complain, oh, I don't have a time. Can you see the society? I remember one of my friend, his father was an army doctor during the India-China battle. He was in the front line and in that Siachen Valley. A very extremely difficult place. You can't follow the four regulative principle. He came from a very cultured family, his father. Even in that place, he never broke any principle. Very religious person. You know, without knowing about the four regulative principle, the culture was four regulative principle. He never smoked, he never drank, he never ate meat. I remember going to his home, you know, there was no onion garlic also in their food. He could naturally practice because the culture was there. The son also became a doctor and he started drinking, smoking. And I one time asked him, why are you doing like this? You know, you see what's your father's culture? So he blamed his surrounding. He said, what can I do? My surrounding is so bad. My friends. I said, come on, that's not a good excuse. You know, how bad it can be? It can't be bad than what your father was going through. In army, there is a people say, unless you eat meat, unless you drink wine, you can't be harsh, you can't be heroic, you can't be tough. You have to adapt to certain kind of food style, you have to adapt to certain kind of lifestyle, you have to adapt to certain sinful activities so that you can do service to your country. Illogical, not very sound logical, but people say like that. So therefore we see here that a person may give material excuse for not practicing devotional life. Or a Kanishtha may give material excuse, oh, only because of this reason I became a devotee. That is right for a conditioned soul. But for a pure devotee, there is a natural urge to practice Krishna consciousness and give Krishna consciousness to others. So therefore, whether it happened or not happened, anyway Srila Prabhupada was preaching Krishna consciousness. His life was life of renunciation. He was always preparing to do more, to do more. In Bhakti Yoga, like we celebrated Vaman Dev's appearance day, there is a saying, by giving, you receive. But in Vaishnavism, in giving, you give more. Giving, there is no response of return. Rather, in giving, he wants to give more. He wants to give more. He wants to give more. Without expecting return. That is Naishkarma. When there is expectation of return, I did this much. Because Krishna himself says in the Bhagavatam, when he met the gopis, and gopis asked Krishna, why you did not reciprocate with us? And Krishna gave them such a transcendental answer. And the Lord said, be satisfied with your own devotional service. There is no return. There is no material return for devotional service. When there is an expectation of material return, then it is not bhakti yoga. It is karma kand. It may have the ritual of bhakti. One may chant Hare Krishna. One may worship the deities. One may hear Bhagavatam. One may hear Harikatha. But hoping something material in return for practicing bhakti yoga, then by our own consciousness and by our own choice, we make the process of bhakti yoga karma kand. There is no return. What is the return in bhakti yoga? That is complete satisfaction. One's heart is completely satisfied without any material motivation. Therefore, Bali Maharaj was a demon. He was born a demon. Like Radhananda Maharaj is saying just 3 days back when he gave that lecture on Vamandev. He said Bali Maharaj had the choice to follow Hiranyakashipu or Prahlad Maharaj. He was connected to Hiranyakashipu also. He was connected to Prahlad Maharaj also. He chose to follow Prahlad Maharaj. When he gave everything to Lord Vamandev, nothing. He was holding back. He gave everything to Vamandev. And what was his consciousness? Brahmaji saying. Brahmaji was doing mediation on behalf of Bali Maharaj, saying, you know, you are satisfied simply by little, not even flower, a flower, but little water. You are satisfied with that much. And this Bali has given everything at his disposal. He has nothing now. And you should release him now. You should not hold him back like this. And then when Bali Maharaj was released, what was Bali Maharaj's consciousness? Bali Maharaj is not thinking that I gave so much to Vamandev, therefore he is responding to me. Bali Maharaj said, very beautiful. Bali Maharaj said, my dear Lord, when you came to my arena where I was performing sacrifice, I wanted to offer you obeisances. I wanted to offer you obeisances, but unfortunately I could not offer obeisances to you. I simply offered obeisances within my mind and just see the result of such obeisances. As if that obeisance is of a pure devotee. This much response you have given to me, and he had tears in his eyes. So Bali Maharaj is not thinking about, I did so much. He did not keep a track. I gave all the three worlds. I gave myself to Vamandev. No, he was thinking, I did not offer anything to Vamandev. I tried to offer obeisances to Amandev, but I could not physically offer obeisances. I did that within my mind and just see the result. So seeing Krishna to be more liberal than what you can offer to the Supreme Lord is proper devotion. Therefore the Upanishad's verse, which Sri Ishopanishad says, oh, I've done so much for you. Please remember, Kutasmara, Kutasmara, my Lord, please remember, is a prayer offered by a devotee. But Prabhupada explains, this is not the high prayer. The high prayer is, you offer everything to Lord. It is not again intellectual. It is a consciousness. The devotee feels, oh, I did not do anything to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. I did not offer anything. So therefore, sannyas means achieving this kind of consciousness. Otherwise, simply waiting, when will I take sannyas and become a guru, hold that danda. Of course, that is also very difficult, extremely difficult. But the mere thought of renouncing everything should cause tremor in our heart, out of humility, as Prabhupada did. And he was mentioning in one of his lectures during the disappearance day of Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj. He said, I was horrified, I was fearing, how will I give up my family? How can I give up my three children? He said, I gave up my three children, but Krishna is so kind. And he started crying, he has given me 300 children. And they are doing so much of service to me. So therefore, Krishna does not make you lose. He gives you more and more. Even though devotees does not want, there's a competition between the Lord and his devotee. The Lord wants to give more and the devotee wants to receive nothing. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj is the real sannyasi, even though he did not take sannyas. He was a grandfather. Bali Maharaj, performing his sacrifice, when he came, Prahlad Maharaj came to him. Prahlad Maharaj was still there, gorgeously dressed, not in sannyas dress, who is condemning grahasthala at the age of 5. But still in the householder's life, one may question, how can you do like this? But for Prahlad Maharaj, it does not matter because his consciousness was so deeply rooted in the principle of sannyas, the real sannyas. When Lord offered him something, take something from me. Lord Prahlad Maharaj said, you know, I'm not a businessman to deal with you in a business way. When again there was a force from the Lord, Prahlad Maharaj, as if chastising the Lord, he said, a master is not a master who simply rewards. If a master rewards his servant, a material thing, he said, he's not a master. And servant is not a servant, he desires material thing from the master. The relationship between master and servant is what? A servant is servant for the sake of serving the master, and master is master for the sake of receiving the service. So Prahlad Maharaj was a real sannyasi. Therefore, when this ceremony took place in 1959, 50 years back, you know, this is like Vishwarup Mahotsav. Today also is the day when Vishwarup took sannyas. How can we celebrate that? No, we can't be party to Jagannath Mishra's misery. It is explained in the Chaitanya Bhagavat. Everybody came and told Jagannath Mishra, you know what, if a person in your family takes sannyas, many, many generations go to the Vaikuntha planet. They were trying to pacify, your son is a great sannyasi. But with all that consoling, and Jagannath Mishra was a great devotee, he knew that Krishna gave me this son, such a beautiful son, and Krishna took away this son from me. But Vrindavan Das Thakur says, but nobody could mitigate the misery of Jagannath Mishra. He was not the same person again. And on top of that, when he saw that dream of Lord Chaitanya taking sannyas, he couldn't handle that. He couldn't handle. He just left this world. He said, I cannot see my son take sannyas. Even though he knew what his son is doing, the great thing, because the attachment was so great. And whom are you attached to? You're attached to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He cannot be thinking, okay, you take sannyas, very good. That is hard-heartedness. As Prabhupada said, somebody asked Prabhupada, how is that Arjuna heard Bhagavad Gita when Abhimanyu was dead? Arjuna was crying. Mahabharata explains, Arjuna was condemning the life of a kshatriya, condemning the battlefield. He was crying and weeping. So somebody said, how can Arjuna cry after hearing Bhagavad Gita? Prabhupada said, that is natural. In fact, if you don't cry, that is unnatural. I tell that story that one Sri Vaishnava guru was approached by one of his grihastha disciple. And this disciple told him, he said, you know, my wife is dead. And when she was dead, I did not cry. There was no tears from my eyes. Therefore, I think I am very qualified to take sannyas. Because, you know, there was no emotional outburst. The sannyasi said, you go and get remarried again. Learn to develop affection for your wife. Because sannyas means crying for the world. Sannyas means not being hard-hearted. Sannyas means when you see how people are engaged in materialistic activities, your heart should melt in sympathy and compassion. Otherwise, what is the use of taking sannyas? He said, you are not qualified. You have no emotions. You have no feeling for others. So therefore, we see, I like this one in the Ramayana, Sumitra. She is sending her son along with Lord Ram. She is saying, you go, you are born to serve Ram. Now one may say, how can a mother, unlike Kaushalya, Kaushalya was crying. Kaushalya was telling Ram that you forget this vow. You forget this order given by your father. Mother is greater than father to a son. Therefore, disobey your father's order and follow my order. She is also right. Sumitra is going one step higher. She is telling Lakshman that you go to the forest. You are born to serve Ram. But while saying that you go to the forest, she is crying also. So this conflict of feeling separation for her son, intense separation, but at the same time being duty bound. Duty bound without feeling is no proper consciousness. So she is duty bound, but at the same time she is feeling intense separation from Lakshman. So this conflict of love and duty is what is the life of a devotee. Prabhupada was not callous to his family. In fact, when he came to know about the suffering of his son, even after taking sannyas, suffering of his family, he was telling some of his devotees, do something for them. He said, bring them. And they said, Prabhupada, you know, is it okay if you do it? He said, in emergency, everything is okay. He didn't become hard-hearted. He didn't become callous. He practiced his sannyas vow, but at the same time, you know, he was very responsible. So therefore, the whole sannyas of Srila Prabhupada or Vishwarup or Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, there is nothing to celebrate, but rather to ponder, to contemplate. You know, what a sacrifice. They didn't need to take sannyas. Lord Chaitanya had no family problem. You can never have a mother like Sachi Mata. And, you know, Vishnupriya, such a loyal, dedicated wife. Everything, all qualities one would aspire about their wife, she had everything. And still Lord Chaitanya left her. Why? Because he had a higher responsibility. He wanted to go and serve the whole humanity. But for the Navadip Vasi, that sannyas was a cruel fate. Therefore, Jananivas Prabhu, when we went one time for Mayapur Yatra, he was coming first time to Katwa. He stayed in Mayapur for so many years, but he never went to Katwa. So we asked him, oh, you never visited Katwa? For us, visiting Katwa was like a joyful experience. No, we are going to another holy place where Lord Chaitanya took sannyas. When we asked him, Prabhuji, you have not been to Katwa? Is it that you are so busy serving the deity? He said, how can I go to Katwa? That is the place where the Navadvip Vasi had to feel separation from the Lord. That was a cruel place, that Lord Chaitanya was separated from the Navadvip Vasis. He had to live Navadvip forever. So how can we celebrate that? There is nothing to celebrate. It is a time for being sober. You know, how Lord Chaitanya, Srila Prabhupada, and they could have stayed in the world and did the same thing. Same amount of preaching they could have done. They had that ability. But still, to set an example to all the conditioned soul, that sannyas is not a ritual. Sannyas is a selfless service. While hesitating, no, I don't want to do it. And still doing it, as Prabhupada did it. And while he was taking that sannyas ceremony, it was not big pompous ceremony. Not that thousands of people were there, everybody was cheering, you know, glorifying his cloth, shining golden color, glorifying his danda. Hardly anybody was there. Few devotees, the inmates were there. He took sannyas as ordered by his Guru Maharaj through his god brother. And surprisingly, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj asked Prabhupada to speak. And during the ceremony, you know, there was a person who was performing the ceremony was saying to Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj, stop chanting, because he was chanting mantras. And Prabhupada was indicating, without this devotee seeing, that chant loudly. And Krishnadas Babaji Maharaj was chanting Hare Krishna. And I was reading, Babaji Maharaj told, when I saw this, that Prabhupada has greater faith in the holy name more than anybody else, I knew that he will be successful in preaching the message of Lord Chaitanya all over the world. And Babaji Maharaj, Bhakti Brungoin Maharaj says, when a doctor came just before his departure to see his heartbeat, he did not hear the heartbeat. Rather, he heard Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So he understood. Such a personality can understand other such great soul. That I said, he'll be the most successful personality, spreading the holy name of the Lord. Always giving more emphasis to chanting Hare Krishna. And once the sannyas ceremony was done, Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj asked Prabhupada to speak. Now naturally, when you speak the language which your audience understand. If I speak in Kannada here, everybody will walk away. But Prabhupada was thinking about his future. That means the preparation was so nicely done. The order which his Guru Maharaj had given, that you should speak in English language. You should preach in English language. So when he took sannyas, the first lecture which he gave, except Bhakti Pragyan Keshav Maharaj and few others, nobody understood English. The Bengalis don't understand Hindi also. It takes long time. They speak Bengali. So Prabhupada did not speak in Hindi. Rather, he gave lecture in English. That means he started executing the order of his Guru Maharaj. So the preparation was there, the execution was there, and the ceremony was unnoticed. The ceremony became noticeable only when Prabhupada told us through his books. In the Lilamrita it is written, but the execution and preparation is what stays with us. And the ceremony stays because the execution was done and the preparation was done. Therefore, on this most auspicious occasion of Srila Prabhupada's sannyas ceremony and Vishwarup sannyas, we can only pray that all of us can become a sannyasi, if not formally, but in principle. That we may try to render devotional service, as this purport mentions, without renouncing, because it is painful, but actually engaging in positive Krishna service, where we develop the consciousness of giving so that we can give more and more, rather than expecting in return. థ్యాంక్ యూ వెరీ మచ్. హరే కృష్ణ. శిల ప్రభుపాద్ కీ జై. దివాంబ్రపు, ఎనీ కామెంట్స్? యాక్చువల్లీ దివాంబ్రపు వాజ్ సపోజ్ టు, ఐ రిక్వెస్టెడ్ హిమ్ టు గివ్ క్లాస్ ఇన్ ద మార్నింగ్. వి మేడ్ అ మిస్టేక్. దే అనౌన్స్ దట్ వీ హ్యావ్ అ గెస్ట్ దివాంబ్రపు. హీఈస్ నాట్ ద గెస్ట్, హీఈస్ అవర్ ద హోమ్ మెంబర్ ఓన్లీ, బట్ ట్రావెలింగ్ ఇన్ ద లైన్ ఆఫ్ శిల ప్రభుపాద్. Even though he is not a sannyasi, he is a true sannyasi. So, it's joyful to see Devamrupu. You didn't give class, so therefore you have to hear this. Any comments? Srila Prabhupada ki jaya.